pride and foolishness. Now, foolishness or folly, it can be described very easily from what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalm chapter 14, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's true foolishness. Folly is leaving God out of the picture, saying, He's not watching me, I can do what I want. He's not in charge of my life, I can live the way I want to. That's folly, foolishness. You know, that comes from a heart that's not right. That comes from a heart that's being led by the flesh. Now, I'd like to give you some, I guess you would say, guidelines here about this. You see, evil proceeds from the heart. Well, first, we need to understand why and how it does that. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, the Bible tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's verse 9. The very next verse, God answers His own question, talking to Jeremiah. He says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. You know, in our society today, and probably throughout the world, it's being told to you, especially if you watch television, listen to movies, music, I would imagine. You just listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Whatever your heart tells you. That's a wrong way to live. That's a worldly way to live. Your heart will deceive you. You can be fooled by your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own heart. I have been fooled and deceived many a time by my own heart, just the way I felt or the thoughts that I had towards someone or something or some way of doing things. I've been deceived, terribly deceived, by my own heart. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Only God really knows the heart. He tells us that because we have that sin nature. We're born with that sin nature. Because of our sin nature, we cannot overcome our own heart even. It takes God to do that. Who can know it? God said, I, the Lord, try the hearts. He's the one that even knows our heart. He knows that you, as you're sitting here right now, what you are thinking. And He knows where your heart is going to lead you. Whether you're really paying attention to God's Word and going to obey it, or whether you're just going to let it go in one ear and out the other, so to speak. Whether it's going to be something that doesn't guide your life, but just, it may have a little influence here and there. You pick the things that sound good to you, and you choose the things that are acceptable to what you want. But He also knows that if you live your life that way, it's destructive to you, to those around you. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. We can't even know our own heart. It takes God to try our heart, test our heart, purify our heart, and make our heart into Christ's likeness. But He doesn't leave us in that hopeless condition. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are born again by His Spirit, you have today hope. I want to give you some things that hopefully will be helpful to you. The guile of the heart is deceitful. That's the first blank there if you have notes. The guile of the heart, Jeremiah 17:9, deceitful. Above all things, desperately wicked. Only God can know it. Secondly, guarding the heart. If our heart is full of guile, then we need to guard it. Guarding your heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep it means to guard it. So your second blank there would be keep. Keep it. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. As we prepare our heart either rightly or wrongly, that will give our tongue an answer. You see, our heart will guide our mind, which guides the words that we say. Whatever comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. Whatever goes into your mouth, as Jesus said back in Mark chapter 7, those are the things that we eat, that we drink. Those things, they don't defile a man, but the things that come out of our mouth, things that come out of our heart. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." As we guard our heart from the things, the influences of the world, then our mouth will speak right things. Our mouth is guided by our heart. Our heart guards our mind. Our mind tells our mouth what to say. And we are guarded, if you will, if we can guard our heart from speaking evil, from evil thoughts, from adulteries, fornications, lasciviousness, and all those other evil things that we could do, from speaking blasphemy, from working wickedness. If we can guard our heart, the heart is the real issue. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The Lord tries the hearts." He tries the heart. As a man would take silver or gold and put it into a fire to purify it, God does that for our heart. He puts you to tests. Just like when I was in school, many of you this morning probably are still in school. I see some children here and some teenagers that are still in school. And some of you that even are adults today, you are still in school. Did you realize that? You've not graduated yet. My father, my earthly father, was 88 years old when he graduated. He went to heaven. That's true graduation. As long as you're in this body, you are still a student. The apostles, all the way throughout the Gospels, every time that they're spoken of, it's synonymous, gospel or apostle and disciple. They were never called just the apostles and not disciples any longer. All throughout the end of the Gospels, they were still the disciples as well as the apostles. They were still being discipled to the end of their life. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I strive and fight with myself daily. The old man against the new man. It is a consistent, constant fight. Anytime he didn't enter into the battle, he was losing. And the same way for us today. Every one of us, we are being tried and tested by the master teacher. For the rest of our life, we'll be tried and tested. We have to pass tests in order to go on to the next level, in order to go to the next grade or the next class or the next topic or subject. We have to pass those tests. Even then, many of you that have done any teaching or have been in school for very long, you understand that even when you get to, let's say, the 12th grade, you may be tested on some things to see if your knowledge is just as good as it was in the 6th grade. There are things that I learned as a kindergartner and first grader that people later in my life, I got into junior high and I thought, why are they asking me that? I learned that then. Well, it's because we don't retain it sometimes. It's because repetition is part of teaching. We have to go over it and over it and over it. If we don't, we're going to lose it. We're going to fall back into the old sin nature patterns and habits, and our mind will revert to the old ways. It happens so easily. That's why God tries the heart. He purifies it by testing, trying, and teaching. Remember that every time Jesus taught the disciples, he went out and tested them. He taught them about faith. Then he sent them by their self, as he was praying for them, of course, but he sent them by their self out into the midst of a storm because he wanted to test them. He taught them about faith. He wanted to see it if it applied, if they got it and they understood it and they put it into practice in their life. And that's the way he does with us. Dear saints, he wants us to guard our heart And then he's going to try our heart. He's going to test our heart to see if we not only understood it, but we applied it to our life. That's how he purifies our heart. He not only wants us to guard our heart, the guarding of the heart is number two there. Number three, the guiding of the heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Turn there with me if you would, if you haven't already. Proverbs chapter 3, the guiding of the heart. This is so important to understand. We not only need to guard our heart, but we need God to guide it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Notice he does not say here that if you trust me in just a few things, that if you'll allow me to guide you in just a few things, then I'll bless you a little bit. You'll be kind of okay. He doesn't say that. He says, trust in the Lord. Put your faith in him. Trust him in all your heart, in everything of your life. Lean not to your own understanding in all of your ways. Not some of them, not a few of them, not most of them. But he says, in all your ways, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall, he will, he's going to direct your path. He will direct your life. He will direct the words that you speak. He will direct the thoughts that you think. As you trust him and allow him to guide you and acknowledge him, his presence, his holiness, his very being in every area of your life, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If you want God's blessing upon your life, you must not only guard your heart, but allow his word to guide your heart. Allow his guidance, his direction. You know, synonymous throughout the whole scriptures with understanding or hearing the word of God is obeying the word of God. In the Old Testament, every time God spoke to the children of Israel and said, if you will hear me, then almost in the next verse, sometimes even before he says that, he says, if you will obey me. If we are going to hear his word or understand his word, that means that we have to obey it. If we do not obey it, he tells us we really haven't heard it. We haven't fully understood it. If we really get it, if we understand it, we will obey it. If God says not to murder people, not to kill people, not to harm people, and we go ahead and do it, then we haven't got it. We didn't understand what he was saying at all. That's the way God's economy of things is. That's the way he looks at life. If we really get it, we really do it, then we heard it. We understood it. And if we don't, we didn't even understand it. We didn't get at all what he was talking about if we're not doing what he says. And I think we can all relate to that. As a child, if I heard my father say, now, sonny boy, if you go over and touch that fire, you're going to get burnt and then you'll get a spanking. If I really heard that, I wouldn't go touch the fire. Two reasons. The three, I guess. Not only did I not want burnt by the fire, I didn't want the whooping. But I didn't pay any attention. I did not obey him. And he said it. Even if I wouldn't have understood it, if he said it, I should do it. That's the way God is. God our Father. If he says it, and we understand even a little bit of it, we will obey it. He's bigger than us, smarter than us, and he's been around a whole lot longer than us. He understands everything about life. That's why he writes the things in the scriptures that he does, is because he knows how things are going to happen and how they're going to work and operate. And he knows that if we don't, it's going to be detrimental not only to us, but to other people as well. It will be harmful to somebody else and to us if we don't obey his word. Finally, Proverbs 23:12 tells us that we need to apply thine heart unto instruction, thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your heart to God's word. Apply his word into your life. Let God's word guide your life. Let God's message throughout his word guard your heart, or you will be thinking evil thoughts, speaking and doing evil things. It is as simple as that. We do one or the other. There's no in between. No gray area with God. It truly is black and white. He's told us the things that we need to do. And if we do not do them, there will be consequences. Throughout the Scripture, he's made that abundantly clear, that if we don't guard our heart and allow him to guide our heart, that it will be detrimental to us and to others. It will be harmful to people around us. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there's a story that I really don't like to read. It's a story of Achan. It's not so much that it's a bad story, but it's horrible, the consequences. One man, he disobeyed God and his whole family died for it. His whole family, they were destroyed for it because of one man's disobedience. All he did was take a little bit of gold and some stuff. I mean, it was just a small thing. It didn't hurt anybody else. He didn't go out and murder someone. He didn't go out and commit adultery. He wasn't stealing, really. I mean, it was stuff that they'd taken, you know, from their enemies after a battle. It wasn't really a bad thing, but it was disobedience. And through that one man's disobedience, his whole family died horribly. They were killed. It's a grim reminder, but then so is the book of Genesis. We see the fall of the whole human race just by one disobedience. Adam and Eve had everything in the garden that they could want. Everything they could ever desire was there, free for the taking. They only had one rule. Don't take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. One rule. And they broke it. Because of that, you and I and every other person that has ever been born on the face of this earth, except for Jesus Christ, fell into sin. We all went down the tubes, if you will. All of humanity was flushed, if you will, through the sin and disobedience of the first two people, the first family. All it took was just one act of disobedience. Let that be a reminder to us to obey God's word, to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God, to guard our heart from the influences and evil things that are around us. Did you know that every day you will be bombarded the rest of your life with evil influences, even if you stay at home, even if you don't go around other people? You will be bombarded by evil influences. You know where they come from? Your heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You don't have to listen to it on the radio. You don't have to watch it on television. Your own heart will give you enough evil thoughts to last a lifetime. It'll be a constant battle if you never met another person, never turned on another television, never listened to another radio station. Your own heart will give you enough to fight against. That'll take the rest of your life trying to fight it. You don't need any outside influences. So guard your heart from all the other outside influences. And allow God's word to guide your heart. to doing what is right, to obeying God's word. So then you can truly walk with Christ every day. You can truly, you really can, every day spend time with God, studying the scriptures, memorizing it, applying it, praying and talking to God. And every day you can walk as the Apostle Paul did. Peter and the other apostles and disciples in the New Testament that you see God doing mighty things through. You can walk just like they did. You can walk just like Moses that had such a relationship with God that God said, Moses, all these other sinners, I'm just going to wipe them off and we'll just start a brand new race from you. They said, no, Lord, no, we don't want to sully your name in front of other people. The Egyptians and all the Amorites and all the Termites and all those otherites around us, they would say, oh, God's not big enough to handle this people. So we're not going to do that. God, I pray that you'd forgive them and just show us a way that we can teach them and help them to grow. You know, that should be our heart as a parent, that in every situation, that everything that our children do, that we see as an opportunity to help them grow. That should be our thought and our heart as a Christian, that when we're attacked by other people that hate God, that we should see it as an opportunity to share the gospel. And I probably see that more than many of you because of my former life. I used to be so mad at God, so angry with God. I would curse His name and shout and shake my fist at the sky and just dare Him to do something about it. And when He finally did, it broke me. What He did was showed me His love. The Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads thee to repent. And it was His goodness when I understood how good of a God He was, that He wasn't as angry at me as I'd been at Him. That's what caused me to come to Christ, to repent of my sin and to be saved and to desire that salvation. It was His goodness that did that. When we see every person that fights against us as an opportunity to share the gospel instead of just somebody that's mad and we want to get even with them, they're so wicked and hateful and terrible. Yes, they are. I used to be one of those. I understand that. I did everything I could to keep my wife and children from going to church. I mean, I invented excuses, and God was so gracious and good to me. That's what broke me and showed me I needed to change. It wasn't them. It was me that was the problem. You know, God has got so much that He wants to do through every one of you. He wants to turn the world upside down right here in this church, right outside of this church, here in Kansas City. He wants to turn the world upside down. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some of the most wicked people in history at times have turned out to be some of the greatest preachers in history at other times, because they saw the active love of Christ through some individual that they were picking on, that they were bound and determined to make them mad, or bound and determined that they would destroy them, as the Apostle Paul did. He held the coats of those. He was the authority figure, in other words, that stoned Stephen. He went into places to hail men and women and bring them out to have them beaten or even killed. That was his goal in life, was to stamp out Christianity. And Christ changed his life. He became one of the greatest preachers that the world has ever known, because he understood that he'd been one just like them. And they all needed Christ. God wants to do so much through us. So, I'm going to sum up real quickly here. Evil proceeds from the heart. The heart is full of guile. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. You need to guard your heart to keep it from being defiled. And you do that by allowing God to guide your heart by His Word and be obedient to His Word. Do whatever it says. If you do that, I'll guarantee you something. You'll be much happier with life. I can guarantee you, because the most miserable person in the world is a Christian that is backslidden and not doing what God wants them to do. They're so miserable. I've been there before, and I understand it. So miserable, and they make everybody else miserable too. So turn your heart over to Christ. And I have to add this one last thing. If you've never truly been born again, then that's where it all begins. If you've never truly been saved, then your heart is full of so much deceit, you don't even know up from down, right from wrong, left from right. You really don't. Until you're saved, you cannot. The Bible tells us that we're born with a sin nature that just blackens and darkens our life, our mind, and we can't know truth until we're saved. So if you're not truly saved, you're not truly born again, today is the day that you need to accept Christ as your Savior, because Jesus died on a cross to pay for your sins. He did it because He loved you and He wants you to go to heaven, but you can't do it on your own. You have to repent. You have to come to Christ. Admit to Him that you're a sinner. Tell Him you believe Jesus died for your sins. And then just ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And He will. And then it starts a brand new life in Christ.